Hello, here's your KVNF regional newscast for Thursday, April 6th. KSJD's Austin Cope has this interview with Rocky Mountain Community Radio Exchange State House reporter Benta Berkland about a bill that would help maintain funding for rural hospitals. State Senator Don Corum of Montrose supports the bill.
The budget makes a $260 million cut to hospital funding. But Senator Corum did vote for it, even when he was talking about how rural hospitals are in crisis. What happened there?
I think it's worth noting that the overwhelming majority of lawmakers vote for the budget, and he said it's just the first step in a very long process. The budget started in the Senate. It still needs to pass through the House, so there will be changes throughout the process. He does feel that hospitals are in crisis. There's a $260 million cut, as you mentioned. That is leveraged with some federal money. So it's actually going to be about a $500 million reduction, which is pretty significant. And there's another bill going through the State House that would try to restore that money. So Corum is optimistic that that could pass or there will be some other compromise. So, you know, he's okay with the budget for now, even though, of course, he wishes those cuts weren't in there. A lot of lawmakers from both political parties, urban, rural, also expressed a lot of concern about that cut moving forward.
The bill that you mentioned would change how the hospital provider fee is set up. But first, can you tell us what the hospital provider fee actually does?
Yep, it was created a while ago by Democrats. It's a fee that hospitals assess themselves, and they pay money each year, and they are able to leverage some federal money. They get 100% match, so that brings in a lot of revenue, and it's used to pay for people who are on Medicaid, who may not have health insurance, low-income Coloradans, and it generates about almost $700 million each year. And what's been the problem in the budget is we have a spending limit under the Taxpayer's Bill of Rights. So even if the state collects a bunch of tax revenue from businesses or sales taxes, we can't spend all that money as a state. We're limited to population, growth, and inflation. This $700 million, it passes through the state budget from the hospital provider fee, and then it goes back to the hospitals. That money moves us closer to that Tabor cap. This year, we reached the Tabor spending limit, and so the state was going to have to refund money to voters. This comes as we still weren't able to pay enough for roads, for education, for other parts of the healthcare system. A lot of lawmakers didn't want to refund, especially Democrats, don't want to refund money to voters when there's parts of the budget that need that money. And so what they did this year was cut money from the hospital provider fee, and so then they didn't have to give Tabor refunds to voters. If they hadn't done that, they would have had to give the refunds and then cut other parts of the budget.
So lawmakers introduced Senate Bill 267, and that would change the way the hospital provider fee gets paid out. Can you talk about what it would change?
What it would do is make it an enterprise. So that means the money coming in from this hospital provider fee that wouldn't be counted as overall state revenue that leads us to that Tabor spending limit. And so it would free up more money essentially in the state budget. Because if we bump up against that Tabor limit, we refund money to voters. And lawmakers, especially Democrats and the governor, are saying, no, we actually need that money. Our schools still aren't being fully funded and other agencies. So why are we refunding money to voters when we actually have collected that tax money and need it? It's a very political issue. A lot of Republicans are strong supporters of Tabor and sending rebates to voters. So we'll see how it all plays out, although it's worth noting this year we're not sending out Tabor refunds as of now because we cut this money from the hospitals to not bump up against that Tabor limit. So it's a pretty political issue. If the bill just enterprised the hospital provider fee, it would pass. But it does a lot of other things that Democrats aren't thrilled with. So if we are going to get anything to the governor's desk with a split legislature, there's going to have to be a lot of compromise.
With Democratic resistance, what are the chances of this bill passing?
It's hard to say. We still have a few weeks left in the session. There's another big bipartisan proposal that would send a tax increase to voters for transportation. That's moving through. We still have the budget moving through. So it's pretty much up in the air. I think there's a lot of room to negotiate, and it just depends on how firm people are on certain things. No one is happy with this cut to hospitals, but just how far Republicans are willing to go to change this remains to be seen. Senator Don Corum is one of a handful of Republicans who actually did support the governor's plan to enterprise the hospital provider fee, not adding in all this other stuff, but just enterprising it. He says he supports this bill from his Republican colleague, which does a lot of other things too. But, you know, I don't know how the negotiations will turn out. I think it'll be really interesting during this first committee hearing to see how it plays out.
That's Rocky Mountain Community Radio State House reporter Benta Berkland. Benta, thanks so much for talking with us.
My pleasure. Thanks.
According to the Town of Paonia website, road closures for railroad line repair and maintenance at three different intersections in town will begin on Saturday. Union Pacific Railroad will be doing maintenance and repair work on the rail line at the intersections. The work will feature three phases. Phase one will include work at the railroad crossing at Lamborn Drive and North Fork Avenue. Road closures for this phase will begin this Saturday, April 8th. Phase 2 involves work at the railroad crossings at 2nd Street and Oak Avenue and Delta Avenue. Phase 3, the final phase of the project, will entail work on the railroad crossing at 3rd Avenue. Road closures will be required for approximately 2 weeks. A new bill aims to give former offenders in Colorado a better chance of getting a job.
Hundreds of thousands of Coloradans who have criminal records could catch a break on their job applications. House Bill 1305 would prohibit most employers in the state from asking about criminal history on initial application forms. Jack Regenbogen with the Colorado Center on Law and Policy says too many qualified workers end up unemployed and on public assistance because of bad decisions made in the past.
We're talking about people that simply cannot get their foot in the door. The hope is by simply removing this barrier from the initial job application that everyone will be in a better position to compete for jobs based on their merits.
Last year, a similar bill met resistance by some who felt the law imposed unnecessary regulations on private industry and had concerns about discrimination liability. Regenbogen says in the new proposal, businesses can still ask about criminal histories after the first application, as well as conduct background checks and deny jobs to anyone with a prior record. More than 1.5 million Coloradans have criminal histories, according to state records, and 60,000 children have parents who've been incarcerated. Regenbogen notes the legislation gives these applicants the opportunity to explain their circumstances. He adds, removing barriers to reentry into the workforce would also be good for the local economy. The state is already prohibited from asking about a person's criminal history on initial job applications. This bill would broaden that to include private businesses with four or more employees. HB 1305 is expected to be heard as early as this week. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
And that was your KVNF Regional Newscast for Thursday. I'm Eric Gould.